topic that I want to talk about is there a proper way to take a shower on Yom Tov? Is it mutter? Is it not mutter? I want to give you a halacha lemaisa, so I also want to explain some of the background. People have, I think, some half yedias about the sugya, and half yedias are much more dangerous than full yedias or no yedias. So I want to maybe clarify some of the half yedias and remove some of the half yedias. I do want to maybe touch on a few other things besides, but hopefully time permitting. Okay. So before we get involved in the halachic issues of getting the hot water, which is the most challenging issue over here, and some other problems besides that, but obviously we're talking about a person taking a washing himself. A person has to be aware of a few details that he has to be careful about. One of them is that there's an issur of memachik, which is using a bar soap would be a problem. Liquid soap is mutter. Now, the question always is, everyone wants to know what's called liquid soap. How liquid is liquid? Right? Does it have to be very loose, very thin? There are some places which hold that liquid soap has to be very thin. I'm comfortable saying the definition of liquid soap is if it pours, even if it pours slowly, that's considered liquid. So that'll be relevant for the soap. It's relevant for shampoo. So that would address that. There's an issur of tearing hair out, loose skin, etc. So a person obviously will not be rubbing it away with his body, which would tear out the skin. Person can't shampoo their hair vigorously because you're going to be pulling out hairs. It should be done gently. There's an issur of schita, which comes with both the hair. Person can't squeeze out their hair. So a person drying themselves off afterwards, the best thing that Allah will do is to take a towel and put it over your hair and let it absorb the hair that way. Padding.
Is there an issue of schita when shampooing?
No, when you're under the water, it's not a problem.
What if
you had
under the water,
mamish? In general, that would not be your kavanah. I'm not sure that would not be a problem. The schita over here is the schita. It's the schita of malabein. We're talking about the hair. This is the schita of malabein. And the same thing when it comes to the towel. Obviously, if a person, with the towel get very wet, you don't want the towel get very wet, etc. This is the schita of malabein. The reason why I'm stressing that is because we'll see later on. There was a minig, which the Magen Aram mentions that because of these chashashes, there was a minig which was introduced by the Rishonim, not to do rechitza on Shabbos. And that swara. See, is that your phone? Please turn it off. Okay. The Magen Aram gives multiple reasons. One of the reasons he gives is because of schita. One reason he gives is because of hitzah, a person would carry the water in his body. One is because when they would wash themselves, they wash themselves in the water. Sometimes little. When you go into water, the nature of the water is that the water pushes away, so that any type of things floating in the water, they'll push them, might move with Dalet Amos. So the Yom Tov, that doesn't apply, because the noise of being carrying something Dalet Amos. So the only thing which remains is Skita. So I saw one article incorrectly point out that there's only Skita on Yom Tov Derais, it's only their abundance, so it would make a zero for that. So he's right and he's wrong. The Skita of Mefarek doesn't apply on Yom Tov Derais. The Skita Malabin does. And so to say that you can make a statement, since he does not apply in Yom Tov, therefore you don't have that minig, that would be improper to say so because he's got the wrong schita. So that's why I'm stressing that we're talking about schita over here of Malabin, which does apply in Yom Tov to rice. So you have to be careful about that. Because that's, dealing with the peripheral issues which you can have. So a person wants to dry themselves. The best way to dry yourself, is in the hair areas covering it. Looser hair, padding it is also sufficient because it doesn't hold that much water. Padding it gently would be sufficient for that. Okay. Now, so what's the issue? The issue over here is a person wants to take a shower on Yom Tov. What are the issues and what's the halacha? So there are four issues that a person has to be aware about. Four halachic issues a person has to be to address. So whether taking a shower is mutter or aser. So the first one, there's a Mishnah in Bay at the end of the second parak that is mufakat in Beisham Mishilo, whether a person's allowed to heat up water to wash a person's face, hands, and feet. Put on Yom Baraglo. Beisham says no. Mishilo says yes. I said, because I got that wrong. Beishami says no, Beishami says yes. So Tosis points out that that's only Mutter Panei Raglo, but the rest of the body is up to be. I can't. Either you stop, go that somewhere else to daven, when you're ready to listen to Shiloh, the Shir, or leave. The Isser is only, it's only Mutter Panei Raglo, but the Kol Gufo is Isser. So the question is, what exactly is Isser of Kol Gufo? So that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah does not say clearly what the Isser is. There's a Gemara in Shabbos on the Tesla Beis and the Mem and Aleph, but clearly there was an Isser of Rechitza and Yontav Kol Gufo. That's a Farish Gemara. The Mishnah does not say it, but the Gemara in Shabbos does say it. And there's a Chalukas Rishon on what the Isser is. So the problem is, like, what could the problem be? So the Ramban says, I don't know what the problem is. I can't figure out what the problem is. Maybe it's because of Skita. Wouldn't make sense that they should ask it because of Skita. Maybe it's because of Gzeres Merchatz. Gzeres Merchatz was, that's a Gemara, that on Shabbos, they didn't allow a person to wash themselves in Rechitza in hot water because the Baalei HaMerchatz, the Balonim, would heat up the water on Shabbos and say that they heated it before Shabbos, etc. So that was a Gzeres, because Allah asked for Rechitza on Shabbos. It says, but it doesn't apply on Yom Tov. Being guys are Yom Tov, after Shabbos, not me star, but they should be asked on Yom Tov, because if you do it on Yom Tov, you might do it on Shabbos, and then on Shabbos, you might, it's like Gzeres L'Gzeres. That's not the reason. He says, to say the Rechitza is Ein Hashem L'Chol Nefesh, it's Shem L'Chol Nefesh, everybody needs Rechitza, so you're allowed, there's a Lach on Yom Tov like this. There's that we know that Yom Tov is unique, different than Shabbos, that certain Malachas are Mutter and Yom Tov. So what Malachas are Mutter and Yom Tov? What's called Echol Nefesh. However, there's a Gemara in Ksubas in the first parak that comes along and says that it says, Ach Asher Yeochel L'Chol Nefesh Hu Levado Yeochel L'Chem. So it adds the words L'Chol Nefesh. So what's this word, L'Chol Nefesh? The Gemara says L'Chol Nefesh, it has to be something which is generally needed, not a unique individual type of a need. So a person's a mefunik and he likes to have very fancy smells in his house. The Gemara says you can't take incense and put it on the coals and burn it on Yom Tov to have a fancy smell. Most people don't need that. So you're doing a malach on Yom Tov of burning something, cooking it, making a fire. And you can't do that on Yom Tov if it's not the tzarech, what's called Shavah L'Chol Nefesh. Tzarech, taking care of the needs of a chayla, it's like carrying medicine on Yom Tov where there's no Erev, so you're doing a malacha, but it's mutter if it's a tzarech. It doesn't have to be dafka chol nefesh, it has to be a nail tzarech. What about for a chayla? Mechloikis in the poiskim, whether that's called shavu chol nefesh. Most people aren't chayla. On the other hand, most people, if they be chaylam, would need this. So how do you define that? Is that called shavu l'chol nefesh or not? So this din of shavu l'chol nefesh has many implications. Okay, so what about, says Zot Ramban, I don't see that it's not shavu l'chol nefesh to heat up water for the whole body. So I don't know why they asked it. It says skita, maybe it comes with skita. Not me start, but they should ask the whole thing goes with skita. So Ramban says, I don't know, because I'll ask it, I don't know why. The Rambam comes along and says, okay, we got a gemara that it's usher. There has to be a reason. It's Taka Doichik, but the reason they asked it is they were Gerzer Yom Tov Otter Shabbos. Since on Shabbos there was a Gzeres Balonim that the Baalei HaMerchatz would heat up the water on Shabbos and say they did it before Shabbos, therefore they asked washing in water, hot water on Shabbos, and even hot water heated before Shabbos, they also asked it. So the guys that did it before Shabbos, so it's still usher. So there's no, the game is up. Right, so they asked Rechitza even on water which is heated before Shabbos. So similarly, they asked the same things, nothing more. They asked on Yom Tov as well, because if you allow on Yom Tov, people will allow on Shabbos, and then we'll have the whole problem. So they regards Yom Tov to Shabbos. So that's a big doichik. But the Rambam says, listen, Chazal asked it. We have to come up with the pshat. That's why Chazal asked it. Tosis finds that pshat that they regards Yom Tov to Shabbos a very big doichik. Right, very big doichik. So must be there's another reason. So he doesn't want to throw up his hands and say I don't know, like the Rambam says. He says that we're forced to say that Chazal decided that the Rechitza is part of Yadav Raglov, heating water on Yom Tov for washing for these parts of the body is called Shavu L'Chol Nefesh, and to wash the full body is called Ena Shavu L'Chol Nefesh. So again, Tosis, it's a Kiddush. Tosis says, but I got a Gemara. I got a Gemara that it's Osir, and we don't know why, and we got to come up with Apeshat. So the Rambam says Hishpshat, Tosis says that's a doichik. Tosis says Hishpshat, the Rambam says that's a doichik. The Rambam says both are a doichik. I don't know what the pshat is, but it might be it's awesome. Okay. So we have two ways to learn up this din that it's us. So that's the first issue which we have. Right away we have this issue. There's an issue of heating water on Yom Tov to wash oneself. So we pass in halacha like Tosfos and the Rambam. So that there's an issue of heating water on Yom Tov because it's not Shabbat Lechol Nefesh. Number one. Number two, we pass on the Rambam that this goes in this the Gzeiras Merachatz. So therefore, even water heated before Yom Tov is going to be a problem. If you want to wash yourself, if a person wants to do regular mechitza on Yom Tov, even a person using water which is heated before Yom Tov, it's still going to be awesome. So that's the second issue which we have to worry about is we have the gzeira, we have to address the gzeira. Why is that very? It's very relevant because we know the gzeiras, once they're Chazal made a gzeira, they made a takana. Even if the reason is no longer valid, the gzeira continues. So even if you'll make an argument that nowadays we want to argue, some people want to make an argument that nowadays taking a shower is shavu'ol nefesh, that'll address Tosfos, but won't address the Rambam. So therefore this, but nowadays shavu'ol nefesh, and I hear all these people saying, pontificating all their swaras, they're amaratzim gemurim, because they forgot the Rambam. We pass like the Rambam, Shulchan Aruch, and the Rambam, both pass like the Rambam. So even if, now we still have to worry about, maybe Tosfos is right, maybe Tosfos is not right, maybe it's now it's different, not different, we'll have to figure that out. But that's the second issue you have to address, is we have an issue with the way we pass on like the Rambam, and this is going to be awesome. That's the second issue which you have to address. Okay. The third issue which we have to address is that this mug and a rum, it says even if you don't use hot water at all, there is a minig which the Rishonim put in that we don't wash ourselves on Shabbos, and the Poskim assume it applies to Yom Tov as well. So there's a minig Yisrael which applies that we don't do this. Even there's no heating issues involved at all. So that's the third issue which you are going to have to address is that minig which was made by the Rishonim that we don't do this rechitza, and even in a case which wouldn't go under Gzeiras Merachatz, and even wouldn't go to the problem of Shabbat Nefesh because you're using cold water, it's still going to be awesome. So that's the third problem, that the third halachic challenge we're going to have. Let me finish. And the fourth one is that even in a case where you would say, so for that there is actually a halachic, Kreger brings the beginning of Shinchav Vav, there's that they weren't going through this takana, whichever this minute, which they brought it to Klal Yisrael, which is accepted by Ashkenazim and Sfardim, by the way. They didn't apply it in the case of a person who is a mitztayer. A person who is a mitztayer, he's very uncomfortable. So they do not make that. So theoretically, right now, if a person wants to take a fully cold shower in cold water, he's not heating any water, it's like there's merichats, the minute doesn't apply if he's a mitztayer, so we're good. There's a fourth problem, which the Rishonim say that you put, there's Gzeiras Merachatz even in cold water, even if you're doing it in cold water, there's Gzeiras Merachatz if you're going to do it in a place where a person might come to do the Yom Rechitza. So you can't do it in Merachatz. You can't do it in Merachatz, period. So even this Heter, which we're saying, Mitzdar is Mutter, but you cannot do it in Merachatz. Now we have to define what is Merachatz. So Merachatz, a bathhouse was Merachatz. That's very clear. Do we say our home bath options go under this merachatz or not? So this is the machlokes of the modern poskim. You know, they didn't really have this issue till, you know, I don't know, 100 years ago. But who had a home option of a bath? If that's what you had, if you washed at home, you went out to the backyard, you boiled up water on the stove, you stood there, and they poured the bucket over your head. You know, it was very, you know, that was the home wash options, you know. And a little kid, you dumped him in the barrel, you know, when you wash him in the barrel. But that's not America's. But now we have a thing which is made for rechitza purposes. So is that considered America's or not? So this is the mechlokes of the modern day poskim, and some say yes, and some say no. And then we have to decide we want to accept that kula. And if we don't accept that kula, are there any ways to get around that kula? So there's a beautiful sefer called Hilchos Mayadim. They just broke it and republished it. It's been out of print for years. It came out like 50 years ago from Chosh Batam Chochum in Yerushalayim. And he brings the Dinkrip Sock, seems to be what he was, you know, from he saw in the Poiskim, is it does apply to home. But there's an Eitzah. And the Eitzah is, if you do it in a way which is not normal, even if you do it in the Mokum America, it's going to be Mutter. See, what's that Eitzah? The Eitzah is to wear a piece of clothing. Now, so for women, assuming they're not going to wash their hair, the Eitzah is to wear a tichel. Right? So you wear a tichel on top of the hair. That most women do not go into a shower wearing a tichel. And therefore, that would clearly be indicative of the fact you're doing something not in the normal way, and that would be sufficient. For men, going to the shower with a yarmulke, I'm not convinced. Some men do everything, and I don't know what men do. But I do want to point out that we have a different problem, is if that eitzah has a danger to it, in the following way. You cannot do malabein on clothing on Yom Tov. So if you pour water on a piece of clothing, pouring water on a loch is equivalent to a loch of malabein. So if you're pouring water onto the clothing, you're going to have a problem. So if the person, let's say, would be wearing an undergarment, and the person is washing a different part of the body, and the water runs off, so derech lichluch is not considered malabein. So the water which is running off of his body, already he's been washing his body, and you know it has the zuum, etc. From that would not be considered malabein. However, if the water is going directly onto the garment, that water is directly hitting the garment, that would be considered malabein, and that would be also. So that eitzah of wearing a piece of clothing would also only be in conjunction with the fact that a person would be very careful that the water should never be going directly onto the garment. So that's not such a great eitzah. Again, the yarmulke thing I'm not convinced about either. There are some points we want to suggest there's a difference in halacha between a shower stall and a bathtub. Because if you see from the sugyas over there in Shabbos, that bath, the cases of rechitza of Chazal were always in the water. So even when I argue what Americans would apply to the home, it's referring to something which you do in the water. But pouring water over that, the more refers to as being mishtatev, that kumi doesn't go into there. So a bathtub, which you could do either, even when you're doing a shower, but you could do, that's a mokum where you could do merkaz. That's exactly what Chazal asked. We were answering, you can't do it in merkaz because you might do rechitza. Right? But a place which is made only for showering and not for that. So I've this is something which, you know, percolated in my head, pun intended, I guess, a while back. And I ran it by one or two individuals, and they said they hear what I'm saying. And that means that they're not willing to take the responsibility of being matter. So the third eitzah really theoretically would be then, you know, a person doesn't do it in the shower. You do it, you know, but you know, so if it's one individual, you know, I could say I take a cry, the guy probably should tell the whole group of Bachim to do that. You're gonna end up with a major flood issues. Okay, so that's a challenge which we have to address. So there's four issues that we have to address. So again, irritates to me these people pontificate about how much they know about nowadays is different, etc. And therefore everything is mutter, when they're forgetting so many other elements of the halacha which are very relevant to halacha lemaisa. Okay, let's go and see if we can address these one by one, and we can find a way that a person can wash himself in a way which is mutter on Yom Tov. Shabbos, a whole different sukkah. So. Now, any het that we're going to be talking about is assuming that you're a mitzdayer. Because that takes care of issue number three, that there's a minhag yisro which is established by the Rishonim, which has been accepted in halacha, that we don't do. Now, Rav Moshe has a tshuva. Rav Moshe says, you're going to argue to me that minhag yisro was established in regards to rechitz in the water. They didn't have showers, right? But now that we have showers, maybe the minhag doesn't apply. So Rav Moshe and the tshuva says that the minhag applies to showers as well. He says, and he says in America, he said back in your shtetl, they didn't have showers either. Right? Showers is a fairly recent invention. He said back in shtetl, in shtetl they didn't have. But in America, it's been the established minhag in America, Rav Moshe says, is not to take showers on Shabbos Yom. So that's an established minhag. Rav Moshe says, all right, you want to argue, Rav Moshe doesn't know what he's talking about. It's not the minhag. I'm not ready to say that. Rav Moshe says, that's the minhag in America. I believe him. Okay. Now, how do you find mitzdar? So mitzdar means you have to be. That's a very hard question because each person is different. But it means a person's very uncomfortable. It's not just I'm a little bit uncomfortable. It means very uncomfortable. Mitzdar means you're mitzdar. That you're talking about the state is not, you know, uncomfortable. It means tzar, right? So a person gets to the point where they're so dirty and so sticky and so that bunch of they push it, can't, you know, they can't find themselves comfortably. So that's what we're talking about. So the person can get, you know, it's going to be, they're predicting it's supposed to be 91 degrees on the Sunday and 91 degrees on Monday. So I can imagine the person who's out, you know, outside for a little bit, back and forth, walking around in a nice black jacket, right, black hat, is going to get very sweaty. So I can hear a person, you know, a person, some people are more mafunic, some less mafunic. A person can be a mitzdar. I can hear that, but he has to be honest, you know. Okay, so that would take, that would address that minig. The minig doesn't apply. Welcome to mitzdar. He was talking about taking a cold shower. So now, if you want to take a cold shower, right, without any heat, so you take care of problems number one, number two, but you still have problem number four. So your mitzvah, good. Take a cold shower. Turn on the cold water. It's very, 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 it'll wake you up. It'll feel great, you know, and wonderful. But what about number four? It still is a problem. So it's again, the one eighth would be if a person is going to, theoretically right now, the one eighth would be but to wear a type of a garment that you have to be very careful with. Maybe a shower stall is mutter. I would like to have somebody else sign off on that together with me, which I haven't seen done yet. Maybe there's this practical aid, so you put a towel down, you take a basin, you pour it over you, etc. Yes, theoretically that's true. Just, I'm not taking a cry through that mess, which is left afterwards. Okay.
If somebody chooses to wear a garment and they wear socks, is that...
I'm not sure socks works. It means, you know, the parts of the body which you're focusing, you're washing. Okay. So that's going to be number four. Now, what about number one, number two? You would prefer not to take a cold shower. You want the water to be lukewarm, warm, hot. What's all up? Okay. So now, there is a Nota B'Yehuda, which and the Beis Meir, which the Sharetzion brings, they say, okay, they're talking about a case of a woman going to mikvah. So mikvah, the Chazal, they weren't gozer on mikvah to merchatz mikvah, even though betzim is immersing yourself in water. That's what it is. That's what merchatz was. It should be yasser. So they allowed it because it's our tefillas mitzvah. But the mikvah is cold. Now you want to heat up water. Well, now you're heating up water. Now you're getting involved in this issue of shavu l'chol nefesh. Is it called shavu l'chol nefesh or not? They say like this. You know, once you're telling me the person's allowed to use the water, that the water shouldn't be freezing cold. Everybody needs that. That's a shavu l'chol nefesh need. So heating up the water on Yom Tov to take off the cold, not to make it hot, but to take off the cold that it shouldn't be freezing cold, that's going to be called shavu l'chol nefesh. This is what the Nota B'Yehuda says in a tshuva. And therefore, the mikvos that you're allowed to heat some water to add the boil of water and pour it into the mikvah to warm up the mikvah, right? So that should be he doesn't should be mutter. So the Mishnah Berurah says it's a great svara. I'm only besamech on it to let Amir la'akim. You can tell the goy to do it for you, which means the Mishnah Berurah is basically saying I'm not only besamech on it that you should do it yourself. So the eitzah of saying well, it's mutter because we're not heating up the water to a temperature which is above what's considered hot by people's definitions. You know, people, it's considered just lukewarm, etc. The Sharetzion does not like that. So even if you throughout you set your boiler before Yom Tov to a lower temperature. So let's talk about boilers for a second. How does our boiler work? All right. So it's an interesting thing to think about. You know, I'm going to differentiate between the people which are in the Warwick and people which are in a private home. So, in the Warwick, you know, they have a gigantic boiler, but it's constantly being used by the Goyim, etc. You don't really have that much control of what's going on in that boiler. A person's in a private home, so you have a boiler, you have a they have the hot water heater holds a 40-gallon tank. They have tankless heaters nowadays. Piece of advice, don't buy tankless water heaters. It makes a lot of problems for Shabbos and Yom Tov. It makes a lot of problems for Yom Tov. Right? So you have a tank that holds 40 gallons. Right? So Shabbos, you're not going to use any hot water, right? So now you have. So let's assume for a second that the water is heated before Yom Tov, before Shabbos/Yom Tov. So how would you do that? Well, the last shower was taken 3 minutes before Lichtson. And the business. There's been five guys taking showers, so all the hot water is gone. So now new cold water comes in, and it heats up on Shabbos. That's cold water which is heated on Shabbos. Right, so that's goes into the Isurim of Merchatz, etc. Water is heated before Shabbos or Yom Tov. We said you can't do rechitza according to the Rambam. The Mutar Shabbos, you can't do rechitza in that either because that was the whole shtickle Torah. They would heat it up in Shabbos and claim they did it before Shabbos. Because I said, even before Shabbos, it's still Asur. So nothing to say anymore. Well, there is a kula in water which is heated before Yom Tov. As opposed to water which is heated on Yom Tov, that is a difference. You cannot wash your whole body at one time in either of them. But the Mishnah Berurah paskens water which is heated before Yom Tov, you can wash your whole body aver. As opposed to doing it one at a shot, the whole thing at a shot, you do it piece by piece. You may not do that on water which is heated on Yom Tov. You may do that on water that's heated before Yom Tov. So now, so let's say theoretically what's going to happen is I have this, I have 40 gallons in there. Let's say an average shower takes, you know, a guy, a person has a quick shower because he's considering the people after him. It uses 10 gallons of water. So there's 40 gallons. There's enough for four showers in there. Right before, now what about the fact that, well, the mice of the thermostat keeps reheating it over Shabbos, you know, the temperature is set for whatever, let's say 130, 140, and the temperature goes below that, the thermostat will cause the heater to go, the heating element to go on. So that's the machlokes of the poskim, whether we consider that water heated on Shabbos Yom Tov, or consider water since it was heated beforehand. So if you got, if people would finish their showers, let's say an hour and a half before Shabbos starts. So if that, I mean that such a nice could happen, right? So there would be a full hot water heater by that point in time, full of hot water. So the fact that it's cycling on and off over Shabbos Yom Tov is a very good argument that that's not called water which is heated on Shabbos Yom Tov. So you have water which is heated before Yom Tov. You're allowed to use that water to wash yourself, even according to the Rambam, Aver Aver. So we can solve that problem. A person goes and washes himself Aver Aver. You're mixed tire, so that's, you have that hat there, and you're wearing your, you know, your, you know, I don't know, your hat, let's say, for argument's sake, right? So you're wearing something, which is a garment, which clearly you would not be wearing in a shower, so you would take care of that problem. Now, the problem is that you have, is there's an issur d'rabbanan of Xeris Marachutz. It doesn't apply. The water is heated before Yom Tov if you wash yourself Aver Aver. So that'll work for the first two, three, four, depending on how sparse people take their showers, that'll work for the first few people. Right? That would be an Eitzah, which would work for that. So that's, again, but that only is valid if the water is heated before Yom Tov or before Shabbos, which would mean you would have to make sure that the showers are completed before Shabbos Yom Tov. Now, the way a hot water heater works is, how does water get to your faucet? There's something called the water main, which is this major flowing element of water, which it has pressure. It's coming from the pumping plant, and it has pressure, and it's pushing. And your faucet is preventing it from coming out. You open the faucet, the water comes out, relying on the pressure from the water main. So how does it get out of it? That's what it comes out. Your cold water comes straight from the water main, right? What about the hot water? To get into the tank also requires pressure. To get out of the tank requires that pressure as well. You heat up your, if you would turn off your intake valve on your hot water heater before you, this way, it's heated beforehand, turn it off, you open your hot water, no water will come out. Or very little, you know, very little water will come out. The reason why it comes out is because there's new water flowing in all the time. So that's cold water coming in. And you're heating that water on Yom Tov. Are you allowed to heat water on Yom Tov? Right? So even though I'm saying I heavily have hot water there for the cold water coming in, even mixes in, etc., I don't have to worry about that because that's not my kavana. I'm not focusing on that. I'm not really using that. I'm using the hot water to deliver beforehand. Okay, we could argue that. So we've solved that problem, right? But we have not given us a halachic eitzah. Now we get to the issue of shavu l'chol nefesh. So let's explain. I want to talk this through for a second because I think Rosh Hashanah is a fascinating point. They quote the name of Rabbi Yashav Zatzal, that person opening the hot water to do the dishes is more than Yom Tov because that's a valid tzarech. So now, in the reality, what malach are you doing when you open up the hot water to wash your dishes? The hot water is just coming to wash your dishes is already in the tank. You're not doing that. You're not heating any water for that. Right? What you're heating is the new water coming in, which you're not using to wash your dishes. So what am I doing? But the answer is, the only way I can get my water to wash the dishes is by heating water. So I have a fascinating thing. So, in the Islamic, you know, till we had this plumbing, you would take your pot and heat it, and that act of heating it would then allow you to wash the dishes with it. Now you're saying, I'm heating that to be able to wash dishes with this. That's what's happening nowadays. I'm heating the new water, and that's the only way I can only use this water by heating that water. I have no other way to use this water. I mean, I can throw it downstairs and empty out the whole thing. I don't have a way to do that. So I'm heating that water in order to wash with this water. Is that mutter? The answer is yes. If that's the only way you can do it, that's mutter. So came along Rabbi Yashar. Rabbi Yashar said that you shouldn't use it towards the end of Yom Tov because you're heating the water. And it's only mutter because you might end up using that water in Yom Tov as well. But if you use it all the way towards the end of Yom Tov, which is going to be impossible to use that water on Yom Tov, so you're heating water on Yom Tov for no purpose. You're heating it with Tzarech Chol. The Tzarech Chol is awesome. So he says you can't use hot water towards the end of the afternoon of Yom Tov. And that'll pull, yeah, yeah.
It's not segregation.
It is more than a psik ratio. First, a psik ratio would be also anyway. But it's, I want the water to come in, because I can't get water out without the water coming in. And I want it to mix. It'll immediately mix. Two things will happen. It'll immediately mix with the hot water which is there, and that'll cook it immediately. So why on Shabbos? The problem you have on Shabbos is immediately the water comes in and it's cooked immediately, even before the fire gets to it, by mixing with all the hot water which is there. And the fire is going to turn on, and it's gonna, if it's heated already, the fire will heat it. So it might be psikresha, the loy ichbus lay. I don't really care to use it now, but I would like the water to be hot. So it's hard to call it. It's not clear you call that a lo nicha lay, because it's lo nicha lay. I don't really care about mitzvah the yomtiv, but I do want it to heat. I would really not be so happy. Mitzvah yomtiv, so oh, there's didn't heat up. He says, well, you told me lo nicha lay. You don't care. I mean, really. I'm pretty upset the fact that we don't have any hot water but the Yom Tov, right? So it's, we assume that's considered a Nichole. Yeah.
What about at the end of Yom Tov Rishon? Is that a problem for
Yom Tov Rishon? The other Sheni is a problem, because as far as Yom Tov Rishon is concerned, Yom Tov Sheni is not. If Yom Tov Rishon is Yom Tov, Yom Tov Sheni is Chol. So that's a problem. And then Yom Tov Sheni to Motzi Yom Tov is the same thing. So come to Rosham Zalman. Rosham Zalman says, I don't see. Rabbi Yashav is arguing that I have to be able to use that water. Rosham Zalman says, no. I need to heat that water to be able to use this water. That's a valid need. We have a crazy, you know, Americans are crazy. You know, it used to be you heat this water to use this water. Now we came up with a new way to heat this water, heat that water to use this water. Fine. But that's all we can do. That's a valid need. Okay. So I'm allowed to heat that water to use this water. Okay. Well, we'll accept that. It's from Rosham Zalman time. Okay, so now I want to heat up the water to be able to wash my body. Well, that might not be shavu l'chol nefesh. Now, again, the water that I'm using is the hot water already, but I'm heating that water in order to wash my body, which I can't do on Yom Tov. So, in the good old days, you would take a pot, you fill it up with all your water to heat it to wash your body. That's it's a deraisa. This is the rice. You're heating water to wash your whole body. This is the rice. Now I'm not heating that water to wash your body. The water I wash your body with has already been in there. It's already heated. I don't want the new water because it'll come out cold. It'll just go through and become out cold. I want the water which is heated already, right? But I'm heating other water to be able to use this water. So that's quite to the same problem. I'm heating water and yomtiv to be able to wash my body. It's not called shavu l'chol nefesh. So is it called shavu l'chol nefesh nowadays or not? Okay. So that's the question which you need to address this concern. So there, and many people argue nowadays that, you know, once upon a time they weren't so clean, they didn't wash themselves on a regular basis, we wash ourselves more regularly, and therefore nowadays it's considered shavu l'chol nefesh. It's an argument. Rishon Zalman raises this argument in a footnote in Shemir Shabbos Kilchusa, and he remains with the tzarachiyun if halach l'maisa, and he's not willing to matter halach l'maisa. So you might argue Israelis are different than Americans. Okay, you know, Israelis are more makbid on hygiene than Americans. Right? You might say that. Okay. So I think it's a tub of the Mishnah. I remember who pointed out. I saw a Sefer pointed out that the Gemara says in Shabbos, Daf Mem, that they made this gezeira that they would not allow people to do Zeya. Because the Mor says that Chazal Ravatal Zayir, because since people used to do it constantly, they were constantly washing themselves, and they needed to use Zayah, it was that the tzibur was not Einot your Rebbe Tzibur Yechalam Lama, but they couldn't accept such a. So I don't know what was in the Middle Ages. Bisman Chazal, the Gemara says in Shabbos Daf Mem, they were washing themselves regularly. Okay, so the what's interesting, the Mor says it's interesting. The Mor says Zayah was theoretically mutter on Yom Tov. You see something more over there clearly. Zayah was mutter. It was mutter to heat water to be mazia the whole body on Yom Tov. It was also to do rechitza on Yom Tov. So Peshul says, so what's the difference between Zayah and rechitza? Well, why would one be also one be mutter? So he says a fascinating thought process. This is the famous Pnei Yeshua. He says the difference between what's called tzarech brius and tzarech tanuk. That Zayah, Chazal said, was the tzarech brius. That people needed to be mazia, and then if you could heat up water to be mazia the whole body, on Yom Tov, mutter the rice, another problem. To wash the whole body, after you've done Zayah already, so that's a tainug. Right, so tzarech brius is called shavu l'chol nefesh. So even if you want to tell me, he says, most people don't do it, it's not the B'nai Yeshua, but the need for briut right, is a valid human need that everybody needs, and therefore that's called shabbat l'chol nefesh. Even if you will take a poll and only 10% does it. So what's this Pnei Yeshua in the Gehillah Maaseh? So this is a famous Pnei Yeshua. Pnei Yeshua says you're allowed to smoke on Yom Tov because everybody knows that smoking is healthy, right? Let me finish. Pnei Yeshua says it is okay, right? That's called tzarech b'riyus. So even though most people don't smoke, but the need for it being healthy, everybody agrees to it. And it's, you do it, Pnei Yeshua says, that smoking helps with your digestion. So therefore, it's mutter on Yom Tov. That's Pnei Yeshua says. And that's pshat. What Tosfos is telling you is not that people didn't do it regularly, and maybe right people did it regularly, but right means right people did it regularly as a tanuk. Now, that's a fascinating point. Now, just as an aside to be ma'azman at Pnei Yeshua, there actually is studies which have been done that smoking a cigarette after a meal will actually aid your digestion. Taking two will be the opposite. Too much of a good thing is not a good thing for you, right? It might kill you for other reasons, but it's good for your digestion. So the Deborah Tziner in the Tshuva in Be'er Moshe says, in regards to that Pnei Yeshua, he says, you know, the people ask me, what happened to the lungs? He says, we have no way to really answer the question because, you know, you go back to the time of Yeshua, he lived before the Industrial Revolution. So how much pollution was in the air? Like, you know, like there was no factories, there was no fumes and carcinogens flying all over the world. It was basically pure air. You know, the worst thing, it smelled from the horse, you know, and the guy's fireplace. The air was so much more pure. So yes, there was the general understanding is that theoretically the lungs have the ability to expel. There's a natural flow inside of the lungs with the cilia inside of the lung, which move things out. The combination of the mucus it moves naturally out of the lungs. So theoretically, lungs can expel a certain amount of damaging chemicals from itself, but it's limited how much it can do. So he didn't say the whole thing, but. Well, that's my part, but that's a medical fact. So that the Deborah Tziner, that yes, in the time of Yeshua 300 years ago, like it had a benefit. The negative part was almost minimal because the body can handle that amount. One cigarette twice a day, they used to 2 meals a day, right? So one cigarette twice a day when there's no other pollutants in the air. Like nowadays, it's a whole different ball game, and the Pnei Yeshua wouldn't apply. That's what the Deborah Tziner writes. So Kaponim, the Pnei Yeshua says. That in Tosis that they could be there rechitz b'chol yom b'sman chazal, but it wasn't a valid need. So now we have a new shayla. I mean, chazal. Current Pnei Yeshua's understanding that the Tosis is telling us that chazal touched up that this is called zeh is called the tzarech b'riyus, and rechitz is called tainuk. And the doctors say nowadays that they disagree with the doctors. That was now it's called tzarech b'riyus. Now the question is, who do you believe? Not did the facts change on the ground? The change of the Tosis, the Pnei Yeshua said they could be washing every day. So now you want to say, well, the Pnei Yeshua is wrong, or even if he's right, the doctors won, that they think it's not tainug, it's a real need. Okay. You want to write an article like that, you can write an article like that. I'm not ready to argue with the Pnei Yeshua like that. So again, it's amaratzes because they're making, well, the stam in those days, I know what happened in those days, how things function. Really? Pnei Yeshua says, you don't know what happened. What about the halacha? You're not Maharat's government, Pshat and Gemara. Right? So any person who smokes on Yom Tov, he can't write such an article. That's for sure, because the makor of the heter is based on this Pnei Yeshua. Like that's one of the arguments that they use. Okay, but let's say you know that's not the pshat, and once upon a time things changed and everything is wonderful. You know, we have a better answer. Let's understand. Let's not get involved in the whole shayla. Comes along the Beis Meir and the Kriyeg, and they said, "I don't understand." They both ask Akash, "I don't understand this issue." There's a din on Yom Tov called Riba Bishur. Riba Bishur means, let's say, I want to cook meat. Right now, I'm having a small meal, and I'm having just my family, you know, four or five people, and I need to cook a small amount of meat. Let's say a half a pound of meat. I'm allowed to cook as much meat as I want on Yom Tov. But tonight I do it in one maaser, which means I can put up the pot. When I put up the pot with 5 pounds of meat, 100% mutzer. If I put up with a half a pound, I can't add more meat afterwards once it's on the fire. But in one maaser, there's no way to serve Reba Mishur. So the person wants to carry tissues, there's no barrier. person wants to carry tissues on outside of the Erev. That's how it's saw. How many tissues do you need? I need 5 tissues. Can I carry a whole package? Yes. Be sure. It's one mice. I'm carrying the whole thing. Ramosha points out, by the way, that only applies to that all the items are usable. I'm talking about, you know, I need the same thing, all tissues. I can't carry a key ring with 5 keys that I have no need for, based on Rebbe Bishurim. Because those keys are not needed. That's a separate, that would not be the head. But I have items, which there's multiple of the same item, and I only don't need so many, that's multiple, because it's one mice. So the base master said, listen, you'll have to wash, heat up water, the Tzarpon Amin of Arag. So they took a big pot, they put it on the fire, and they heat it up. Let's say you need a gallon to wash your face, hands, and feet. So instead of putting a gallon, I want to put 5 gallons in and put on the fire. Because the whole history of Kron Tosfos is I'm heating up water on Yom Tov for a Tzarpon, which is not, but that's not a problem. Because I'm allowed to do it for Ponei Arag. So that's from Kiv Eger's Akash. That's the base mayor's Akash. So the base mayor said, because of this Akash, you were forced to say that since the Tainug of Panavera Raglov, when it's washed as part of washing the whole body, is a whole different experience than washing just Panavera Raglov, so that's not true anymore. When you put up 5 gallons at the base mayor, Kiv Eger Sarki, the base mayor says that you were forced to say it's a different Maisa. I'm not doing the same mice of washing water from my face, hands, and feet, because that when I heat up water for that, I get a different result than when I heat up water for my whole body. So that's also called a different mice. It's not called Reba Bishur. Okay. Now, what about when I turn on the water tap to wash my face, hands, and feet, which I'm allowed to do? And I'm allowed to have new water come in to be able to have water to come out to wash my face, hands, and feet. And then I wash my face, hands, and feet, and the water is still running. And do I have any problem using that water for the rest of my body? I mean, I know I'm going to do that, right? Did that go into this issue of heating up water with Tzarech Rechitzus Kol Gufa? Well, we'll argue that now that Tosfos is still applicable, and it's still applicable. So what's my Maisa? What's called my Maisa when I turn on the tap? That's the Moran Sanhedrin. The Moran Sanhedrin says that the Moran has a story over there that there's a dam with water behind it. And you know, you have a picture of, like they take the guy, but you know, the built, they take the over here the innocent, tie him up, put him in front of the dam, right? Didn't know anything yet, right? Then they go and break open the dam, and the water comes out and drowns him. So the Gemara says that if the Rama understands the Gemara, if the first force of water comes out, hits him and kills him, the person is considered a Ritzach and his Chayav Misa. If that water does not kill him, but Maisa, there's water upstream, and that water stream eventually comes down and just keeps getting submerged and submerged, eventually it kills him, he's called a Groma Baum and he's not Chai. Groma is Mutar and Yom Tov. So what water, what's my Maisa doing? So I turn on the water, the Maisa is that Maisa bringing out that first flow of water. What flows in afterwards, that's Groma. Now, if I open the water, I'm opening it, Rechitzus Kol Haguf. I'm not opening water, Rechitzus Kol Haguf. But I am mutter to open up water to wash dishes. So I want to wash a dish in my bathtub. Okay, wash the dish in your bathtub, under the shower. Okay, I'm going to do that. I'm a little bit strange, but you know, people in the Silver Spring. Anyway, right? So what do you want from me? You know, I want to do that. Well, once the water's running, I want to take a shower also. What's stopping me? So I don't have to get involved in the whole Shiloh. Okay. That's theoretically a mahalik. So I don't have Tosfos' problem. Whatever water is going to heat it up, that's not my responsibility. I wasn't doing it for that. The first action I was doing was to wash my face, hands, and feet, which I'm allowed to do. What happens afterwards, I'm allowed to continue using it for that other purpose. And let's say that still doesn't address the Rambam's shita. Water heated on Yom Tov, you can't use to wash yourself. So if you don't have the eights of the preheated water, because the guys took showers all the way till right up to Yom Tov, or it's the first guy goes and takes a shower, and like, you know, you bang on the door, and he's, you know, merrily singing, you know, whatever his kazanis, right? And he uses up all the water, which was heated from beforehand, right? So then what's your eights? So there is another eights. The other eights is, so Panav Yad Haragav is mutter. Is that Tafka Panav Yad Haragav? So the Bir Halacha raises this question. It says, Afkapani Baraglov. Again, so the heter is going to be, the first heter is going to be water heated beforehand, doing an aver, which means you would put water on your arm, you lather up your arm, and you wash off your arm. Then you put, each part of the body is done independently. That's called aver. Right? And then you're a mitzvayer, and you're wearing your hats, so we've solved all those problems. A baseball cap would work, by the way. I think a baseball cap would work. Regards to yarmulke, I'm not sure, but I think a baseball cap would work. If you want to wash your hair, that's a little bit of a problem, but okay, but if you want to wash the rest of your body, that would be a solution. Mm-hmm. There's another eitzah, is that what avorim does that apply to? So Mishabur, Bir Halacha actually raises this question. He starts off with a strong argument, it's daf kapono of yadav aragla. At the end, he seems to be chayser, he brings a rash, but he brings others, etc., would say it's lav daf kapono of aragla, it's any part of the body. Any individual part of the body is mutter. The Shulchan Harav passes like that as well, that it's any individual part of the body is mutter. So when does it stop being individual parts of the body and called the body, which is called gufa, which is us? The answer is at roif. As long as it's less than the majority of your body, it's called panav yadav aragla. So I'm allowed to turn on water on Yom Tov to heat up on Yom Tov to wash the minimum part of my body. Okay? So therefore, now the Mishnah Berurah seems to be saying, well, it's only Mishamech on the case of a tzarech of mitzvah, but the Shulchan Aruch is matir legamri, and the Poskim assume like in this situation, Mishnah Berurah seems to really be chozer l'maisa mikra din, the Shulchan Aruch is matir, then you can be Mishamech on that. So again, if a person is a mitzvah, that's a valid need. So usually most people in their mitzvah, the main place they have issues is minimal parts of their body. It's under their armpit, it's under their arms, and a few different areas of the body. That's the main issue. So you can wash that without the problem of toisus, because it's the minimal part of your body. You're still going to have the issue that you have to wear your baseball cap, and you have to be mitzvah, because we have the minimum mitzvah that. And since you're doing only minimal part of your body, you don't have the rabbah mazisr. They didn't ask for panir aragla. That's clear in the Mishnah. So that would be the eitzah. The eitzah would be, if a person wants to wash those parts of your body, again, assuming you're using liquid soap, etc., that's the way to do it. So we have two approaches to do it, either using water from beforehand or water heated on Yom Tov to use it for a minimal part of your body, and assuming you're meeting all the other criteria, and that's going to be the heter. So let's leave it here. Okay.